in California, in other areas. It was an unprecedented long-term revival. Azusa Street was a couple years. So in the midst of all of this, the Roaring Twenties, you just read the history. I mean, it was like living in the 90s back when, you know, when Reagan was in office and everyone, that was Clinton, right? 80s was Reagan. But in the 90s and all the TV shows like Growing Pains and different things, you know, it was just kind of like everything was easy. Now, most of the youth up here, they don't know what it's like to really see a war that has affected us in our lifestyle. They didn't go through a World War II, and they didn't go through a Vietnam. I mean, it's horrific that we lost as many as we have in the Iraqi combat, but if you look at the amount of troops that we've lost in Iraq, in Afghanistan, compared to what we lost in Vietnam and World War II, this generation doesn't even know what it is to sacrifice or suffer. You guys have really had it easy, and you've really been blessed. So much so that we expect that that's just the way it's always going to be. And I would rather it be that way. Come on, I'm not a doomsday guy. So in the midst of all of the blessing, the outpouring of the Spirit, the Roaring Twenties, all this stuff, right before the Great Depression, before the crash, here's Smith Wigglesworth speaking these words. They wouldn't have been popular words back then, folks. And he said, there's a storm coming. He added that a remnant would know God as never before and would also experience extravagant asking. So what he said is that at the same time that there's a storm coming, at the same time that there's a great falling away, there's also going to be a great outpouring and a great revival amongst a remnant of God's people. Yeah. Kenneth Hagin, he said, I looked at the scroll again, and I looked to see what I read about, and I saw the skyline of a large city. Looking closer, I saw the skyscrapers were burnt out halls. This is before 9/11, folks. This is way before 9/11. Portions of the city lay in ruins. It was not written that just one city would be destroyed, burned in ruins, but that there would be many such cities. He says he saw the scroll again written in the first person, and he seemed as if Jesus himself were saying, read this, America is receiving her last call. Some nations already have received their last call and never will receive another one. Then in larger print it said, the time of the end of all things is at hand. The statement was repeated four or five times. Jesus also said that this was the last great revival. He went on to say, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church in these last days. And the church will do greater things than even the early church did. It will have greater powers, greater signs and wonders that were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. There'd be a great falling away, there'd be great difficulty, and there'd be a great outpouring and a great renewal. So this is what Mario Morillas says. He says, so what do you do to be prepared for the storm? What steps do we take to obey the words of warning that come to us from the Bible and then from the prophets of God? Distilling the common threads that run through these four men's prophecies, and I haven't read them all, I found these steps. Number one, stop being stupid. That was his first thing. He said, stop following preachers that are weakening you, using you, denying the coming storm. Get out of churches that look like nightclubs. Get away from the seductive teaching that denies hell, the blood of Christ, the inerrancy of the Bible, and the urgency of the Great Commission. Don't follow their teaching for heaven's sake. Do not give them any money. Do not fellowship with believers who condone drunkenness and immorality. This compromised Christianity is precisely the house built on the sand that the storm will destroy. Number two, press into God. The common thread that runs through the messages of these four prophets is a call to intimacy with God, and the result of that intimacy would be a special grace and power to live through anything in these last days. So that brings me to our study. Because we need to learn how to press into God. And we need to learn how to do it practically and daily. So, Last week, here I go. I just sent it to the somewhere up there. I'll find it again. No worries. Now I have to remember what the title of the message is. See that? You know, technology is a wonderful thing, and an iPad's a wonderful thing until you flip up the wrong. Yeah, I know. Thank you. I will find it. Anyway, while I'm looking, you can say, praise God that this guy's human. There it is. I got it. All right. I am. I'm as human as they come, folks. All right. So here's what we talked about. We talked about that God called Moses and Aaron to speak the name of God over him, to speak the name of Jehovah. We looked at the name of Jehovah as the existing one, the proper name of the one true God. And then we looked at the eight covenant names of God, the name of God that he gave to Israel that set them apart as God's chosen people. We looked at, and these are in your notes, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Nissi, our banner and our victory, Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctifier, Jehovah Shalom, our peace, Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd, Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness, and Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, our presence. And each one of these accompanying scriptures will take you right to the context of where God revealed himself in these covenant ways with his people. And you can do a study on all those eight. And then we noted that it's the power and revelation of God's covenant name that all his blessings are revealed and realized in our lives. So now we come to Numbers 6:23. If you're in chapter 6 of Numbers, Numbers 6:23 says this. Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. I think that's really important because I've done this for years. At the end of the service, I've said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. And I've done that for years. I've never taught on it. And I realize that it can seem as something very churchy to do. You know, it's something nice that we quote out of the Bible at the end of the service. It's kind of a nice blessing, but is there really import to it? Is it really important? Is it something that really has power within it that we need to realize? Is it something that really, when we grab what we're doing, will it really take us through the storm that's on the horizon? So God said, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way. God had a specific blessing that he wanted to be spoken over the children of Israel. Now, we see other blessings in the New Testament, but there's no doubt to me that the early Christians, especially they were Jews, first of all, the early Jewish Christians, and they met in the synagogues. And there's no doubt to me that this blessing was a continued part of their life. The understanding at least needs to be, even if we don't say the words, which I think it's good to say. Do you get what I'm the gist of what I'm saying? We have to have the understanding of what this blessing means. So, the first thing is to bless. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now, the first word is the word bless, and that word literally means to kneel. And this is the part that we really need to grasp this morning. This speaks to us positioning ourselves in the place of blessing. Now, I want you to really hang here because I'm going to ask a couple of the young people to come up and just kind of help me out here. But let me just, I'm going back again to Webster's 1828 dictionary. You guys don't mind helping me, do you? Yeah, I knew you would be that willing. It's going to be innocuous. Don't worry, I won't embarrass you. Webster's 1828 dictionary says, to bless means to wish happiness to one, to express a desire of happiness. And then they give the example, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. It means to make happy, to make successful, or to prosper in temporal concerns. And they quote Deuteronomy 15, "The Lord thy God shall bless thee in all you do." It means to make happy in a future life. And Revelation 14 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." It means to set apart or consecrate to holy purposes. And they quote Genesis 2, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." So the picture here is one of positioning oneself before the Lord. Okay, this is where I'm going to need some help. Who wants to be the first volunteer? Don't all run up at once. Okay, Joel. Levi, come on up here. Okay. So Levi, you're just going to, and you're looking good today.
Thank you.
I like the new way of wearing a tie. It's kind of awesome. I'll have to try that. Because I don't like ties cinched around my neck. That's a real relaxed way of wearing a tie. Okay, so in blessing, you're gonna be Jacob.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm gonna be Isaac. Now, you know the story, and I'm not saying you're a deceiver, you know, because Jacob was a deceiver. But here's the deal. You know the story that Jacob and his mom contrived together about how Jacob could get the blessing because Esau was the older brother. It always went to the older brother, right? But Rebecca wanted it to go to Jacob. And so she said, okay, I'm going to make the porridge. You put on these hairy clothes. Kind of sounds weird, doesn't it? This animal skin on the back because Esau was a real hairy guy and Jacob was a real smooth guy. Yeah. You know, so we should reverse the role, huh? But anyway, so he said, now I want you to get all ready, right? And then I want you to go take the porridge to your dad and tell him that you're Esau and get the blessing. Now he didn't just come up and take, let's say this is the play. He didn't just come up and go, hey dad, here's some porridge. Hey, will you bless me? No, he didn't do that. He knew that he had to come and position himself. Because when someone was blessed, it was a very important action. He didn't just kind of like go, hey, high five, you're blessed. No. And he didn't lay his left hand on him and bless him. What, turn around here and face me. And so what Jacob had to do is he had to kneel down before his father. And he had to come to the place where Isaac could put his hand on Jacob to bless him. See, he had to come to a place of humility and surrender and stay there to receive the blessing. Now stand up, Levi. Run around. Just run around. Yeah, just. Now, this is the way, keep coming. Just go all different directions. Stay on the stage, though. Stay on the stage. So now, if Levi was just kind of like, if he's always just bouncing around, don't let me. Okay, keep going. Come on. We didn't script this, so a little rough here. And he comes again, and I think, okay, you know, I'm going to bless him. Oh, you know. This is the way we live our lives like that. Yeah, there you go. Okay, no more moonwalking. He was a ham at church camp too. We won't go into that though, will we? You see, he's not going to come to the place of blessing until he comes and do it again. And he kneels down and comes into the position of blessing. Do you get that? Okay, now, Joel, you're not off the hook. Come on up. So now Jacob's an old man. Jacob's about to die, right? And Joseph comes to Jacob and says, hey, I want you to bless my sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, forgive me, because I don't remember which one was which, because I don't keep that kind of stuff in my head unless I've got it in my notes and studied it before, okay? So I'm going to butcher this. I got a 50-50 chance of getting this right. He is? Okay. So you're going to be Manasseh. Get over here. And you're going to be Ephraim. Come over here. Okay, so now, Joseph knows about blessing, right? So he has them both kneel before his father. So who's the older one? Thank you. The gift of a teacher. So now Manasseh, right? I'm forgetting it already. So now this is what Joseph wants. Joseph wants the blessing to come on the eldest. So he positions him in the place where that blessing would come. And he also wanted him to bless Ephraim too. But then this is what Jacob does. Jacob does that. And Joseph says, no. And he takes his hands and he corrects his dad. You never want to correct your dad like that. You don't want to correct the Heavenly Father when he's about ready to bless you. And he says, no, I know what I'm doing. The younger shall be blessed and receive the first. The position, okay, thank you guys. Can we give them a hand? I wanted you to see that. You see, because it's so practical and it's so important. We don't sometimes take the Word of God and drill it down to where it's really practical. I need to position myself. To bless means to kneel. You see, I can't receive the blessing of God, the favor of God, the joy of the Lord, the healing of Christ, all the things that he wants to so freely give me if I'm running around in my life, never coming to a place of humility and surrender where I'm kneeling before him and stopping long enough to hear his voice and allowing him to lay his hand upon me and to bless me. You guys probably won't ever forget that, I hope. So my pastor let me run around like a goofy man on stage. He's pretty cool. Then it says, listen to Genesis 27 to 26 and 9. I won't read it all, but Jacob said, or Isaac said, he thinks he's talking to Esau. He says, come near me and kiss me, my son. You see, he was calling him to the position of blessing. Come near me and kiss. What? Doesn't the Word of God say, draw near to God and he will draw near unto you? Doesn't the Word of God say, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and in due time he will bless you and lift you up? It's the blessing. Do you see it? Oh, man. Now, I gotta go, okay, because I've got a plane to catch. So I'm actually going to let Terry close the service because I've got to be in Dallas shortly and head to Oakland. But let me just give you this second point. And I hope this is okay that we're just kind of lingering. And I hope you appreciate this because I want to get it. And I want you to get it. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Not, oh, how am I going to make it through the coming storm? Some of you have storms right now. Some of you have physical storms you're facing, financial storms you're facing, marital storms you're facing, family storms you're facing, apart from the national storm we're facing and the world storm we're facing. How are we going to make it through the storms? We're going to make it through by positioning ourselves under the mighty hand of God and knowing that when we do, he's going to keep you. Okay, this is exciting because this is what this word means in the Hebrew. It means to guard, to observe, to give heed, to keep watch over, to ward, to protect, to save life. Oh, he's the one who's going to do it. Thessalonians says, faithful is he who's called you, and he will what? Do it. As we position ourselves and live under the name of God, We find the place of safety and protection through all the difficulties and trials of life, and we find that he will keep us. Now, that sounds kind of nebulous unless you have the understanding of the 8 revelational names of God. When I position myself under him and I need healing, he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals me. When I position myself under him and I'm in need of provision, he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God that provides. When I am hurting and wounded and I need his presence, he is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always there. When I need peace in the midst of the storm, I come to Jehovah Shalom and I kneel under the mighty hand of God, and he comes to bring peace in the midst of my turmoil. That's why Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're safe." There's no literal building, folks. There's no literal tower. It's the name of God we run under. Yes. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, the rule, the authority will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Acts 3:16. A man who was crippled is now healed. They're wondering, how did it happen? Peter, James says, and John, in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "You are kept by the power of God." Can I just say it this way? You are kept by the name of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And finally, Philippians 1:6. And you know these verses are they're so familiar to you, but if you think of them with the concept of the covenant name of God and the call to position ourselves under his mighty hand of blessing, he says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he," notice that, Hebrews 11:6, "it's impossible to please God without faith, for whoever comes to him must believe that he is," ego eimi, Yahweh, "that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So being confident of this very thing, that he, that is Jehovah, the covenant God, who's begun a good work in you, he's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do the video. I'm going to save it. I'm going to do something that I fought the Lord about. But I'm going to do it. And I'm going to have to borrow your guitar, Eddie. And I'd like to know if our altar prayer team members are here. How many do we have? Can you come? Can you stand? And can you come? And whoever is here that can pray. And I'd like you to come up front. And why don't you grab, each one of you grab a flask of oil. You have some? Is it on? You can, I'll try not to drive it out of tune. And where's the pick? Oh, thank you. Thursday night, Mary Hageman, I told her I was going to come and visit Fran. And she asked me something that I felt very uncomfortable about. She said, "Kirk, bring your guitar and sing to her." And I said to Karen, I don't want to do that. I really feel awkward. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, give me some songs, and for Fran. So I put my guitar in the car, and Friday morning I drove down to Granbury to the nursing home, and I left my guitar in the car because I really didn't want to do it. And I walked in, and Mary didn't ask me about the guitar. But I saw Fran lying there, and Mary's sister there, and Mary and the hospice nurse. I felt the Lord just say, son. And I said to Mary, I have my guitar in the car, if you'd like me to bring it. And she said, yes. So I sang about four songs just to the Lord in that room. And it's nothing about my songs or my singing. It's the presence of the Lord fell in that room, and nurses were coming in, and people were crying, and Fran was just laying there, knowing I know she was in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and said, and Eddie, this is a confirmation of things that we've talked about. There are some songs to be sung over people. And I felt him say, if you sing these songs, these two songs over the congregation, I will release healing and strength and ministry this morning. So I don't want you to sing along. I'm not performing for you. I'm just singing over you. There are altar prayer team members here to anoint you with oil if you need healing. The altars are open. I'm going to sing these two songs, and I'm going to have to whisk away to Dallas, and I'm going to turn it back over to Eddie. At the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet, you have shown me your love through the judgment you receive. And you've won my heart. Yes, you've won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes into beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down. At the foot of the cross, at the foot of the cross, where I am made complete, you have given me life through the death you bore for me. And you've won my heart. Yes, you've won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes into beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Come in to kiss the feet of I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down. Trade these ashes into beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Come and kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down. Just lay it down. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Oh, it rains unending love. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has rescued me. And like a flood, a sweet flood, His mercy rains, unending love. Set free, my God, my Savior has rescued me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Unending love, amazing grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Carol, come forward. That saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But now I see. I'm going to ask Carol to just to keep playing that as the worship team comes forward. And Pastor Terry, if you'd come forward. And they're going to close the service with you today. Just continue to let the presence of the Lord lead you under His mighty hand and come to that place of His great blessing.
As we enter into worship, position yourself under the name of the Lord this morning. Whatever you need, if you need something, and we all have needs, be open and honest with yourself. Position yourself under the name of the Lord and receive what you have. And as we worship, if you want to come down, these people are going to be here and be praying still. Just respond to the Lord as He leads you. might go a few minutes over this morning, but God is here, and if you have needs, the Lord is here to meet your needs. I don't want anybody to leave without receiving what you need this morning. There are people here this morning that need to get back under the name of God in your everyday life. You need to just say yes to the Lord. Maybe you've never come under His name. Maybe you've never said yes to Him. And if that's the case, don't leave here today without doing that. Maybe you accepted Jesus when you were younger, or maybe you've just gotten away from walking with the Lord like you know you ought to. And God is calling you and saying, come back under my name this morning. Submit yourself to me. Let me bless you and let me keep you. Let me be God in your life the way that I want to be. And I'm asking you, don't say no to the Lord. Don't say no to the Lord. And if you need to go, you go. Feel free to go. But we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to sing another song. We're going to keep worshiping. We're going to enjoy God's presence. With this final thought before we dismiss, that the Lord wants us to position ourselves under His name, and part of that, like Kirk shared, was that we need to humble ourselves, and we need to be submitted as a true servant of God, and that we wouldn't have our personal agendas or our personal stuff above His, but that we would submit and say yes to Him first. And then Jesus told the parable about the servant doesn't come in from the field and sit down and feed himself, but first he prepares for the master. And after he has completely served the master, then his needs are taken care of. And after he's done all that, Jesus said it, and he's still just going to say, I'm just an unprofitable servant. And that needs to be our attitude about what we do for the Lord, our attitude about our lives every day. Everything that we do needs to be geared towards honoring Him first. And He'll take care of us. He will bless us and keep us. But we need to position ourselves to honor Him first and let Him take care of the other stuff. So, Lord, we receive everything that You've said to us today, all the things that You've whispered in our hearts, all the ways that You've ministered to us. We receive that. We ask, Holy Spirit, that You seal that. Don't let us walk out of here and forget that, but let us go out of here with a new understanding, a new revelation of You, and a new commitment to honor You with our lives every day. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, may He lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. Go and be blessed. Have a great week. Enjoy some fellowship. Be careful on the wet roads. Love you guys.
This is really the only thing that I have, but that's all it is. And the words are real. This is a possibility. It doesn't really say anything else, but it's very simple.
It doesn't necessarily pretty. Have to be easy.
It's, Father, I love You. I lift my hands to worship You and be glorified in You. That's almost all it is. solo. The first verse can be a solo, not. But these parts are really simple. In fact, it's only three parts. Two parts.
Are you going to sing with the group? Okay, cool.
It's very simple. I love it.
I don't think she'd let me not.
I might not let
this
you
one. No, this is not.